At the bottom of 277, 278, we are talking about how Hashem relates to this world through Kodshei Kodashim, saying that the Kodshei Kodashim is the century point by the godliness comes into this world, and it bypasses the godliness that goes through the Kodshei Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, bypasses the creation process. And the last thing we left off was in the middle of a sentence that it says that it comes from Chochmah of Atzilus, and there it goes into Malchus of Atzilus, and there it goes into Bria of Atzilus, bypassing the creation there, and then comes into, from there, into this world. And we're in the next to last line, the Hein Levadim Yuchadis, in the last paragraph on 277, Hein Levadim Yuchadis Bo'ar Yitzay Baruch Hu Shebetechai Hein Hanikros B'Shem Shechina. And this is what is remains of the revelation of Elokus in this world, and we call this Shechina. Asher b'kodesh kodashim by its vision, which existed in the first temple, the first place of Mikdash, al yedei, we're turning the page now, he slashes b'aseres adibris hachakukas b'lucha sheba'aren. B'neisu ma'aseh lakim chayim, which is enclosed in the Ten Commandments, in the two tablets, which was engraved with the writing of Hashem, which was in the Aron, miraculously, as an expression of a Maaseh Elokim. So the only way that we can explain it is that it was just a miracle. What does the word miracle mean? Miracle means it doesn't go according to the laws of nature.
Right.
That's all that means. Okay, so that the godliness coming to this world is miraculous. And we see, you have people, I understand, when people witness a birth, for example, they say they've witnessed a miracle of birth, a miracle of life. Okay, as far as I know, that's you couldn't be too much things more normal than something that occurs about every 3 seconds around the world. People, a person born every 3 seconds, about, yeah, would you say? Yeah. Okay, that's called, and it's called miraculous because there's a sudden revelation of life. We call it miraculous. That's what's happening with the godliness as it's coming into this world through the Shekhinah, through the divine process. In the parenthesis, the Hi Alma Deskathia, which is coming from the hidden world, Hamikanin Bo'elon Abriya Kenedaliyadichain, which is established in the world of creation, as we talked about before, and is known to those who are familiar with the esoteric writings. That's in the first, that was what was in doing in first temple. But Bayashani, what happened in the second temple, that there were 10 things missing in Bayashani. There were no tablets, there was no Aron HaKodesh. It says, our sages say that the divine presence didn't rest there. So the divine presence didn't rest there. So how come over 300 Kohen Gadols dropped dead when they walked into the place on Yom Kippur? There's no Shechina there. They walk in, they drop dead. How is that possible? So he answers that question. Piras Madregas Shechina Shahais the Shore of Abayas Rishon. When it says that the Shechina wasn't there, so it means the Shechina that wasn't in the Bayas, that was in the Bayas Rishon, was in first place of Mikdash, that wasn't there. Shaloka Derechistal Shusa Oilamas. That would totally and completely bypass the creation. But it went through channels. And Bayashani went through the process. It went, it's still skipping it though, because we went from Malchus of Atzilus. From Malchus of Atzilus went to Malchus of Bria. From Malchus of Bria went to Malchus of Asiya. Malchus of Yetzirah went to Malchus of Asiya, into the physical world. So it had to go through more processes. It was more processed, but it wasn't processed as the physical world is.
Yeah.
The analogy I use of a Velveeta cheese being so processed, this world.
Yes.
It was above that. The Asiya Haisam Islavshish Bekachi Kadosh Rabesam Ega Shalamata, Vishar Sabaya Hashkina Malchus the Yetzirah Mulubesh Bekachi Kadosh Asiya, as I just said. Velachin Lohai Rashai Shum Adam. Lo Lachin lohay rishai shum adam likanish sham. That's why.
You got the place?
Nobody was allowed to enter there. Levada Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. Aside from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, because he was a proper keli, a vessel for being able to contain such a revelation. How is it Vesachnisht? I never really never saw anywhere that it describes why is it that the Kohen Gadol could go in to Kasher Kiddushim and walk out. That he should be able to walk in and get killed like 300 of them did in the Bayis Sheni, that I can understand.
They weren't qualified.
They weren't the proper vessel for it. But somehow, something, if Aharon HaKohen would have walked into the Kasher Kiddushim on any other time, or if it says, if I just saw this recently, if he would have walked in a fourth time on Yom Kippur, he also would have died.
Yeah.
It was specifically three times on Yom Kippur, and that's it. And I could probably make up something, but I'll save it for Purim. Mishachar, now, the point that he wants to get to, what has this got to do with us? Mishachar, Beis HaMikdash, Ein L'Lakadosh Baruch Hu Bo'el Ma'ele Dalan Ha'oshel Halacha Bilvad. Since the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed by Bayis Rishon, there was this tremendous revelation, it was so great. And because there was the Luchas and there was the Aron. But by Bayis Sheni, there was no Luchas and there was no Aron, there was still revelation and it wasn't as great. Since the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we still have a century point for Elikus to come into the world.
Yes.
And what is it? Shulchan Aruch. The details of how to do all the mitzvahs. Because what's the purpose of Kodesh Kedoshim is to convey divine will into this world. What does that mean in simple English? What Hashem wants. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants to dwell in the world. So now, in this time, in 2012, how is it that that Hashem dwells in this world is when we do what He wants, so to speak, when we do what He wants, which we understand what He wants in Shulchan Aruch. So if you want to see Elokus, you have to open up a Shulchan Aruch. And we mentioned this before. Okay, a person who is attuned to halacha should be able to sit and daven a whole davening ba'arichos till daven on Shabbos until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like he'd been learning about the most flipped out Kabbalistic concepts.
Indeed.
Okay, a person should be able to learn the first, for sure the first. They should get up like the first paragraph in Shulchan Aruch. He should get up like a lion and like a swift as an eagle and etc. etc. That one for sure you could forbring a whole forbringing on that first paragraph of Shulchan Aruch. But the next one after that also, which isn't so ethereal.
Esoteric, yes.
Okay, because what is it? It's this person, when your person learns the halacha, they've connected. He said this back in chapter 5. They're connecting their will and wisdom with the will and wisdom of Hashem. And if a person were to really and truly feel this, they'd daven until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A simple launch in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Because that's where Hashem is, and wherever Hashem is, that's where He's in His totality. You don't get little pieces of God. The expression is to fasta miksasa to fasta kula. When you grab a little bit of Hashem, you've grabbed Hashem in His entirety.
There's no such a thing as God light.
No. Sorry. There is God light, but it's got a GH in the middle of it.
Ah, yes.
Dollars halacha, but afilo echad she yeshiva isak b'tera shchina ima. As it says in Pirkei Avos, you have a person, he's sitting by himself. He's in the middle of doing his business, whatever his business is, and he's got a 10-minute break. So rather than going out and grabbing a cigarette, which we're not going to do that anyway, so he opens up a Shulchan Aruch, and he sits and he learns for 10 minutes a couple paragraphs of Shulchan Aruch, and he feels that what he's doing is not, let's say this isn't positive, and he feels that he is doing making a positive connection, a positive reinforcement with his will and Hashem's will. That's what, there was a chassid of the Rebbe Marash, whose name was Yitzchak Abela. I'm probably saying that wrong. His last name was the name of his city. You know, so when he came into, he was a storekeeper. Mm-hmm. He was a very sincere person. When he came in to for Yechidus, the Rebbe Marash said to him, "Yitzchak, ich bin dir mekana. I'm jealous of you." He said, "Rebbe, you're jealous of me?" He says, "Yeah, I'm jealous of you. You are working out in the world. And when you get a moment, you have to open up a Mishnayos, you say a Kapitel Tillum, a Pasuk in Chumash. Somebody comes into the store, you tell them a word from an Ein Yankif, a good vort that you heard, to be and you're makarved into getting closer to Avinu Sheva Shemayim. Of course I'm jealous of such a thing. We, sitting at this table, are all fit into the category of business people. And this should be what we do also. Have a minute, you open up a book, or if you learn something by heart, to review by heart, so that a break isn't a break. You know, when you're working a donkey, you give it a break and it eats something, and after it ate something and it rested a little bit, it can go back to being a donkey, but it didn't stop being a donkey in the middle either. So we're that we're working. All of us are working like fared. There's not one of us isn't going to say we're not working. I haven't met anybody who said, "No, I don't work too hard." Everybody's working too hard. Danny, you work too hard? I know for sure you work too hard. And we're working like horses over there. So for the 10 minutes that we're not working, to take the Alter Rebbe was very big on Ein Yankiv, so we have Rambam now, and Tanya, Chitas, Kapitel Tillum for, you know, something to say from Tillum, you know, this type of stuff. Because even one person sitting and learning, the divine presence is with them. Kidisa bevrachas perakama. Pir shchina. What does it mean, shchina? Shchina imai. Kiderach istalshulus islapshus malchus detzilus malchus debriya v'yitzira v'asiya. He's not getting the holy of holies over here. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you are, but generally we're saying that this person who is sitting and learning the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in his spare time, he's getting a revelation of Kachshei Kedoshim. He's getting Malchus of Atzilus, going through the channels, totally, completely processed as well. But we said back in chapter 50 that even though there is a process for which godliness comes into the world, the Elokus maintains its integrity. Qualitatively, it stays the same. It's still infinite Elokus. Kiteriag mitzvahs hatera ruvim kunkulim hain mitzvahs maisias. Because you look at the 613 commandments, most of them you need a physical thing for. We said this last week. Gamataluis bediva romakshava kemaitalmatera birchas amazan rekriyashma tfilu hakaima lan de lavkihir the lan de hira lavki dibur dami. So even those things which you don't need a thing for, thinking Torah, understanding Torah, believing in Hashem, for example, birchas amazan kriyashma davening. We say you can't think Shema and be Yotzi. We talked about this way back when. Because we live in a physical world, there has to be a physical performance of the mitzvahs. He said in Hayamim a couple days ago that just like it is that you have a physical tefillin that have a certain dimension and a certain place where they have to be put into the body, so too also the love and fear of Hashem that you have to have a certain feeling and place and size that you're doing that mitzvah as well. It has to be kavua, belave, and a person has to feel the love and fear in the heart. Just as much as he feels the tefillin on his arm. And he talked about that, that was chapter 39 through 47. He has not fulfilled his obligation of doing all these mitzvahs, which are dependent on speech, by just thinking and having wonderful divine intentions, until he actually utters the word. Because we've established that because moving your lips happens to be called an action. Okay, unless you're a ventriloquist, You have to move your lips when you talk.
Indeed, yes.
Now, there's one for you. If you're using a ventriloquist dummy to say Shema,
yes.
The dummy puts his hands over its eyes,
yes.
And you're saying the Shema over there without moving your lips, but you can hear it. You can write it. No, that's a pill for Purim, for
that's
sure.
So do you have a dummy saying Shema?
That goes without saying. That's for sure true, 100% of the time. As you see, that you have the 613 commandments which are written in the Torah. Added to that, you have the 7 mitzvahs of the Rabbanit. It equals to the numerical value of 620. 620 is keser in Hebrew. A chaf is 20. And a tough is 400, is 420, and a resh is 200, is 420, and 200 is 620. Shehu Ratzon Elyon Baruch Hu, because we call Keser is called in the sphere chart, is called Ratzon. It's not by any perchance that Hashem gave us 613 commandments and allowed the Rabbanan to make 7 commandments. The Rabbanan are going to come up all of a sudden, they're going to come up with an 8th commandment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, oops, 621.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but then you get Kisra, which is also still Keser.
Uh-huh.
Kisra with an Aleph still means a crown.
Mm-hmm.
But this tells us that the 620 commandments are an expression directly of Hashem's Ratzon. And this divine will is enclosed in Hashem's wisdom, which Hashem and his wisdom, we've been saying, I don't know how many times already since chapter 2 already, that Hashem and his wisdom are ultimately unified in a simple unity, meaning that you can't tell where the wisdom starts and Hashem begins or vice versa. Because it doesn't start, it's all part of Hashem. The wisdom of Hashem is Hashem, not even part of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means, united b'tachlis. V'Hashem b'chochma yisad aretz. And then we have a pasuk that says, Hashem with wisdom founded the earth, shehu Torah shebal peh. That refers to the oral tradition. That's why it is, if you really learn. It says we know that people, the Kabbalists, were sitting, they sit and they can learn, they see the insights in how the world is created, and they're able to manipulate creation, and there's all kinds of things that we hear about, all the stories that we've heard about the Mikubalim from over the centuries. The Alter Rebbe says, I believe twice in Agaras HaKodesh in the back of the Tanya.
Yeah.
About learning Ein Yankov specifically.
Mm.
Ein Yankov are the stories in the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that the secrets of the universe are contained in the stories of Ein Yankov. Okay, I read them, to, you know, have a book that came out in English, I don't know, in 1968, I think it was. It was basically his Ein Yankov in English. It's almost the entire Ein Yankov in English.
I have it.
Okay, it's called The Legends of the Talmud. Okay, and I went through the whole thing with my kids. Friday night, I take it out. We read a couple of stories. Everybody go, wow, that's really flipped out. what does that mean? You know, the secrets of the universe are contained in the stories of the Ein Yankov.
Yeah.
It says, what is it? J.B. Soloveitchik, who was in the Sorbonne with the Rebbe, said when the Rebbe would sit in class, he would sit specifically reading an Ein Yankov. He wasn't reading a Sefer Maimarim. He had an Ein Yankov. What was he doing? I would imagine he's like, you know, checking out the secrets of the universe,
yeah.
You know, so.
That's how he passed his chemistry set.
Yeah, exactly. He passed all his engineering exams by studying Ein Yankov.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, that's how he passed his time, you know,
Right, exactly.
That was his filler.
The Nafim Mechachmi Elokim, because of the Zohar, the Abba Yisayd Barta, as it's brought down in the Zohar, that Abba, meaning Chachma, is the foundation of Barta, of the daughter, meaning Malchus.
Mm.
Meaning to say that where does it all start from? The final resultant is the expression of the initial start. In simple English, why do you do anything? To accomplish something. Yeah. The accomplishment is the reason why you started.
Right.
Why was there a Seder Histalshelus? In order that there should be this final world. In order there should be this world.
End up with something, right.
This is how we got started in this whole section. It's brought down in the Zohar. That there's a divine light which is lit over a person's head. That this is the divine presence. You have to draw it down. As we said before, where's the divine presence? It's right here. For those listening at home, I have my hands above my eyebrows. That's where the divine presence is, just above eye level. And what do we have to do? We have to draw it down. We have to get it down to eye level. How do we get the divine presence down to eye level? Lihislabish b'chochma hanikr shemen mishkas kodesh. That's in order to draw it down into the wisdom of Hashem, which that's called the anointing oil. What is that? How do we draw down the divine presence down into this world? Good deeds. That's how we do it. It talks about in, is it this week's portion? I don't know, I'm going to be out of town sometime soon, so I did all my e-parshas for the next like 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So on one of them, it's on the pasuk Va'atem Hadvekim Va'Hashem Chayim Kolchem. As Hashem to Tadvekun, you should cleave to Hashem, is what it says.
Mm.
Is it this week or is it next week? I don't know which parsha it's in. I think it's in Parsha Sarai. So Rashi says, what are you supposed to do? So it says you're supposed to be a nice guy. It's the bottom line. I'm paraphrasing the Rashi.
Yeah.
You want to emulate Hashem? You want to cleave to Hashem? Mm. The Rebbe points out, of all the different chastim, the acts of kindness that Hashem does.
Mm.
He visited Avraham when he was sick. He did he buried Moshe Rabbeinu when he died. He put on clothes on Adam and Chava when they were naked. All these acts of kindness that Hashem did. Says you want to get close to Hashem, you want to, the word is cleave. Cleave means like glue. You have to be a nice guy. Do nice things for people. It sounds like trivial or trite, but for the person that you're doing that nice thing to, it's not trivial or trite.
Right, that's right. That's great.
Okay, you can get a lot of things done by just being a nice guy. Tried and tested. And if you can't be a nice guy, pretend. Pretend to be a nice guy. That these are the 613 commandments which, drawn from Hashem's wisdom, and what happens then is when you're doing this good deed, which is coming from Hashem's wisdom, which that's the oil, our soul then, actually that's the wick, our soul then becomes the vessel for conveying the psila, the wick is the animal soul, which is enclosed in the body.
Mm.
And then what you have now is you have an oil, and you have a wick, and you have a container to contain it, and all you need is the flame. And that Hashem provides. What's the physics behind a candle? In order to have a candle produce light, basically what you're doing is you're destroying the candle.
Yes.
You're burning up the wick, which is sucking up all of the oil into it to create this flame. Kach or hashchina. So too it is with the light of the divine presence. Shura nefesh elokis, it rests on the divine, the godly soul. Al yedei klei nefesh bahamas, by the nefesh bahamas being consumed. Because when you put on tefillin this morning, which soul was it? It was your animal soul. Because your godly soul can't move your body. The only thing it could do is suggest to the animal soul, would you please move?
I have an idea for you.
And then what happens is the animal soul says, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. Okay, the godly soul says to it, you'll really like it. Because yeah. That's the only thing that motivates the animal soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll really like it. Oh, sure, I'll do it. Okay, and it really does it. And what happens as it's doing it, it's connecting to holiness, as we talked about before in many chapters, in chapter 35, etc. And every mitzvah that it does, it becomes less of an animal. We become less donkeys. And it comes converted now. For the darkness becomes light, and the bitterness becomes sweet with the tzaddikim. They get to do that to convert the animal soul to a godly soul. Or at least what we get to do that we're not tzaddikim is to burn out the garments of the animal soul, so that it says, you know, however old we are, there were things that we used to think about when we were kids. And we used to think that those things that we thought about when we were kids were really important. Mm. And now that we're older, we look at them and we say, boy, that was a really childish thing to be thinking about. Mm. Mm. Okay? As you grow up and mature, you burn out those previous thoughts. And so as a person matures in Yiddishkeit, so then the pursuit of Taivas Olam Hazeh also get burnt out.
So when does this maturing stuff start?
About minus 9 months is when it starts. When does it end? When you hit 120. Or vayte. Shehein machshava divrei ma'aseh is hapas mechoshech haklipa lo'ara einsof baruch hu. That what we do with every act and every utterance and every thought, because you don't do everything that you want to do, and you don't say everything you want to say, and you probably even at this point in your life don't even think everything you would want to think either. You say, no, I don't need to think about that. I'm going to think about something that's worth thinking about. That's a stupidity. I'm not thinking about that. Okay? That's turning the darkness of the light of what you have to do. No one's asking any of us to be a tzaddik. We weren't created that way. We have the potential to be beinonim. And so, nothing stands in the way of desire. Okay, and this light of the infinite one, blessed be he, is united in the thought, speech, and action through the performance of the 613 commandments of the Torah in the average Joe Bainani. Ki al yedei his hafchus nefesh abahamis haba meklipas noga mechashecha l'nahera, because by converting the animal soul, which comes from elevatable klippa, it's an evil force which can be elevated to kedusha because it has sparks of elikus in it. Nasa b'chinas halos man, this is called an isarusa de latata. This is our arousal from below. Lehim shich or hashchina, to draw down the light of the divine presence. Hu b'chinas gili or insay baruch hu, that there should be an absolute revelation of the infiniteness of Hashem on his godly soul. And that comes first into their head, and as we said back in chapter 50, and from there it's dispersed to the rest of his body, and God willing, someday you'll start glowing. As it understood, as it says, Hashem is a consuming fire. What does it mean, Hashem is a consuming fire? That if a person understands a little bit of Elikus, what does that do that gets his godly soul that much on fire? And it burns out a little bit of the schmutz of the animal soul. And so it makes it easier for the next little bit of Elikus. And what does that do? Gets the godly soul on fire, and it burns out a little bit more schmutz from the animal soul. Is a person going to ever get there? We're banning him. We don't have to get there. We just have to try.
Just have to go.
That's all we have to do. And we'll let Hashem take over. You'll put your concerted effort, whatever it is, and Hashem takes over, because he doesn't say it over here. Once you get the halos man, which he calls it, the arousal of the feminine, which we are the feminine, the recipient, what that does is it excites the masculine, which is Hashem. And with every excitement of the feminine, there's a greater excitement of the masculine. So every time we, us people types, that we're the feminine in the relationship, we get excited and we put forth effort, it gets Hashem, the masculine, excited. And then when the masculine gets excited, what does that do for us? That gets us even more excited because we've drawn down more elikus. As explained elsewhere, Nishlam Chelek Rishon Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach V'Yisholeh. We have completed the first section with the help of the one above. May he be blessed and may he be praised. To be continued.